Welcome to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI, your home for the politically homeless. You want to be part of the most dangerous show on the airwaves? Give us a call at 206-644-6006. That's 206-644-6006, or text us at 206-421-5757, 206-421-5757. Coming up this hour, a cop shooter is revealed to be a trans Antifa socialist activist. Surprise, surprise. But before we get to any of that, time for your daily dose of adrenaline.
Do you want me to stick this into my head?
I preface this segment by saying, it doesn't matter if you like Trump. Doesn't matter if you like DeSantis. Doesn't matter if you attack Trump. Doesn't matter if you attack DeSantis. Doesn't matter if you like Joe Biden. What matters right now is the fact that the economy is in huge, huge trouble, and all this back and forth bickering isn't going to fix anything. Nothing at all. If Trump gets indicted, if Trump doesn't get indicted, doesn't change anything. Doesn't change the fact that the Fed hiked interest rates again today. And what that did was it made money more expensive. Why do you do something like that? Because Biden and the Democrats flushed so much money into the economy, it is now so overheated, you have massive inflation. Things cost more because when you just print and print and print and print and print, you devalue money. It has no value anymore. Think of your old baseball cards. If everybody held on to their Mickey Mantle rookie card, it wouldn't be worth that much. If everybody had gotten one of those Honus Wagner cards in a cigarette package, wouldn't be worth as much money as it is. But because there's very few of them, that's why they're worth a lot of money. But now you have the opposite problem with inflation. Because there's so many dollars out there, they're not worth it. And as a result of that, the Fed needs to get more money out of the economy. So to do that, they hike interest rates, which means people aren't spending as much, but that has a different impact. When you hike these interest rates, what happens is money's more expensive, so people aren't borrowing to buy houses, people aren't borrowing to buy cars, people aren't borrowing to hire more people, and then you have a drop in employment, which is what we're seeing right now. I remember the Democrats kept saying, oh no, we don't have a problem with a recession because look at the employment numbers. I said, just wait. Just wait, what's going to happen? So I preface the segment by saying, I don't care how you feel about the indictment. I don't care how you feel about Trump versus DeSantis. None of that is going to change what is happening right now for at least the next year and a half. This is our new normal for at least the next, what, year and a half, 2 years? Like, at this point, nothing's changing until January of 2025, and nothing's changing on day one. And that's assuming a Democrat doesn't get elected. That's how bad this could be. Just think about that for. Meanwhile, let's look at what's happening in New York. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's possible criminal case against former President Donald Trump may have derailed this week, according to Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz. The Daily Wire said that former federal prosecutor Robert Costello testified in front of a Manhattan grand jury over matters related to a $130,000 hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels in 2016. Costello told the jury that former Trump attorney Michael Cohen, expected to be Bragg's main witness in any case against Trump, couldn't tell you the truth if you put a gun to his head. Because why? This is a guy who's been convicted of perjury. And this is your star witness? A bad lawyer could discount this guy. Dershowitz appeared on Fox News last night and told Sean Hannity that Bob Costello has changed the case dramatically. Quote, I think that Bragg now only has two possible results from that. Number one, he could say, all right, I'm going to try and make the case without Cohen. Can't use Cohen as a witness anymore. That would be unethical because of the testimony that Costello gave. Or he could say, look, I have to drop the case. He may not be able to make it without Cohen, but if he can't make it without Cohen, he can't make it because no ethical prosecutor is allowed to put on as a witness somebody who has told lies and has contradicted himself so much. But you're assuming that Bragg is an ethical prosecutor. This thing has already passed its statute of limitations as a misdemeanor or as a felony. There's no reason for this thing to be going forward at all. There's no legal reasoning for it. But Bragg wants his name in headlines. Oh, he may get his name in headlines. He may get it. Now, with a grand jury in New York, you're talking about 24 people. So with the grand jury, only 12 of them need to say yes for you to get an indictment. I am sure in New York City, you can find 12 people who want to see Donald Trump perp walk. But you think that after Donald Trump putting all this stuff on Truth Social and everybody who has my kind of job out there saying, you guys are about to guarantee this guy the nomination, you don't think that a lot of people are leading on Bragg going, you're playing with fire here? Because this is an extreme version of what the Democrats did during the midterm election. Elevate the people they think are the most extreme candidates, hoping they don't win. That's what they're doing. Now, the problem is Trump beat Hillary before because she was a terrible, terrible candidate. It's not that Trump was such a great candidate. Do you really want the guy who had all these allegations of affairs and impropriety and bankruptcy and you name it with Donald Trump? Look, I loved his policies, but he is who he is. That's all baked into the cake. Would you have that guy in a normal circumstance? No. But Hillary Clinton was such a lousy candidate that of course he's going to win, and they didn't count on the Trump factor, where Trump was able to get all these people who hadn't really been engaged in politics before to say, I want a piece of Trump's American dream. You had that. He was able to do that. But nobody from the Trump campaign, nobody from Team Trump, none of Trump's supporters can answer me how you plan on making up the millions of votes you didn't get last time. Now, with regards to voter fraud, were there problems with mail-in balloting? Yes. Did they change the rules last minute? Yes. Were there shenanigans? Sure. You think that's not all going to be there this time? How do you plan on fixing all that this time around? On top of that, Trump lost in his first midterm election, right? He lost that election. Then he lost the other election, the main election, his re-election. Then his candidates get crushed in the most recent midterm election. He has not gained support. He has lost support. So though he may get the nomination for president, that doesn't mean he becomes president. It seems like there's a lot of Hillary Clinton action going on here on the Republican side of the aisle, or at least in Team Trump, where people are going, he deserves it. He's earned it. He was cheated of it last time. People, that's not how you win elections. Just ask Hillary Clinton. Ask her what she's doing right now. She's doing a podcast with her daughter that nobody watches. We occasionally play clips when somebody was really bored at night and said, wonder what they were talking about. Oh, look at the morons they are. That's not how you win elections. How do you make up those votes? And don't just say just ballot harvesting. It's more than that. It can't just be ballot harvesting. There have to be issues too. And yes, Trump is very good on some things, but now he's got a lot of baggage. Now, let's measure that up against DeSantis. DeSantis has been very strategically savvy so far, but he may have just made his first. So what happened? He had this interview with Piers Morgan, where they started leaking clips of it last night to start advertising the thing. You start getting little trailers, little pieces of it to advertise this thing that's coming up tomorrow night on Piers Morgan's show. Now, Trump this whole time has been concerned about DeSantis, and DeSantis has managed to keep his head above water by saying he's not going after Trump, by not even mentioning Trump by name. Now, the problem is, when was this interview scheduled? When was this interview done? Because it takes time to do pre-production. It takes time to put something like this together. So the question is, when did they do this thing? And odds are it was probably done before there was all this talk about indicting Trump. I mean, you knew there were possible indictments out there, but there's always possible. There's been possible indictments for the last 6 years. Why now? So if they made this thing last week, which is likely, then DeSantis saying some of these things would have made some sense. But now when everybody's saying, oh, is he supporting Trump? Is he backing Trump? Is he giving him a support against this ridiculous prosecution? Now you got some issues. Because the problem is, Trump is a black hole. Trump is like a cyclone. He just sucks up all the air. And if it becomes about the Trump show, Trump wins the nomination. He does. If it becomes about the issues, if it becomes about the country, then people may say, you know what? I'm tired of crazy time. You got a guy like Ron DeSantis who hires people who are competent. Look at the people Trump hired. Some of them are in jail for correct reasons, like Michael Cohen. Some of them were incompetent and Trump fired them. Trump never actually drained the swamp. Never fired Fauci, for example. So Ron DeSantis is on this show with Piers Morgan. Here's a little clip of it.
You think you could beat Biden? So you're running then?
No, I didn't say that. I just said I think I could. I mean, I think that that's, I mean, if you look at Florida.
Who would be harder to beat, Biden or Donald Trump?
I don't know. Those are two different.
They are two different things for a second here. Could he beat Biden? Yeah, according to every poll, he can. Can he beat Trump? That's a question, right? Seems like that's a bigger, growing question right now. And then the thing is, which we see in the polls all the time, and we know how accurate polls are, is that Trump loses to Biden again. Ron DeSantis had, what, a 0.4% victory in his first election for governor, and then won by 20 points when he ran for re-election. And then he got a supermajority in the Florida legislature, and everybody he backed won. Everybody. So if you want to talk about winning, 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 that's DeSantis. Trump lost the midterms when he was president. Trump lost his re-election. Trump lost the midterms again. You've had three consecutive losses for Trump. So, yeah, I think DeSantis could beat Biden. Do I think Trump can? It's a question. What would you have done about all those government bureaucrats like Fauci that Trump should have fired?
People have been quite kind of scathing. They've said your house-trained Donald, your Diet Coke to his full Coke, right? You've heard all this. What are the differences? Well, I know what I know him very well. Having now spent time with you, I could immediately identify a few differences. What do you think of the difference?
Well, I mean, I think there's a few things. I mean, obviously, you know, the approach to COVID was different. I mean, you know, I would have fired somebody like Fauci. I think that he got way too big for his britches, and I think he did a lot of damage. I also think just in terms of my approach to leadership, you know, I get personnel in the government who have the agenda of the people and share our agenda. If you bring your own agenda in, you're gone. We're just not going to have that. So the way we run the government, I think, is no daily drama, focus on the big picture, and put points on the board. And I think that that's something that's very important.
And he's not wrong. He's not wrong at all. Don't forget, it was Donald Trump who was out there with everybody announcing to flatten the curve and criticizing Ron DeSantis for reopening and criticizing other Republicans reopening. They realized this didn't make sense. I'll give him a pass at the beginning. But he should have said, hey, you know, I'm looking at stuff. I'm seeing things. You are. You go ahead, and I encourage everybody else to do the same thing. And now his surrogates are out there attacking DeSantis. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And then you got Trump out there calling DeSantis all these different kinds of nicknames. I mean, it's absolutely petty. It's absolutely petty. You don't win this nomination by doing it. You don't win anybody's respect. You're not going to win new voters. You lost all the soccer moms, all the white women the last time around. You think this is going to get them back? You think all these porn star things are going to get them back? You think that's going to get back independent voters? It's going to cost them. You may win the Republican nomination, but this doesn't mean you win the actual election. And as we saw in the midterms, all too painfully, yeah, we had a lot of Republicans or America First, great candidate that Trump said, who couldn't win a general election. So they won the primary, great. But that didn't get them 206-215-7757. On the text line, that's 206-421-5757. Have you had enough of the drama, or do you think the drama is what carries you to victory? Is that a Trump or DeSantis? We'll discuss that. And we'll make sure to get your comments in at 206-421-5757. Yesterday around 5 o'clock, the Bellevue Police Department sent out an update from King County on the shooting that happened in Ballard on Monday, where King County Sheriff's deputies were serving a warrant, and the person, it wasn't a warrant, excuse me, an eviction notice. And what happened was the person being evicted decided to open fire on said deputies, and there was a firefight. Well, they send out this notice, and I see certain little red flags in this notice, and I go, something's up with all this. I go, this just don't sound right. I go, they were formerly known as, what is this, Prince here? They're an artist formerly known as? No. They got a couple names here. Something's not right. So when something smells like Antifa, I send it over to my friend Andy No, who did some digging for me. Here's what he found out. The suspect who allegedly wounded a King County sheriff's deputy after opening fire while they were serving an eviction notice in Seattle on Monday has been identified as a transgender member of the Democratic Socialists of America with ties to Antifa. You look at a picture of this guy, it looks like that guy who shot up the movie theater who was dressed like the Joker with that hairstyle. That's the first thing it reminded me of. Now, why is the trans thing relevant? We're going to get to that. Normally, I don't care if you're male, female, whatever. You open fire on a cop, you get what you right? I'm going to say that. Sorry, saying it right out there. We're going to come to that. According to law enforcement, three deputies were serving the notice, but when they encountered the resident being evicted, there was three deputies opened fire, and one deputy was shot in the upper torso above his bulletproof vest. The three deputies in this notice were also identified as Detectives Benjamin Wheeler, Benjamin Miller, and David Easterly was the deputy that was shot and remains in critical condition, but stable, at Harborview Medical Center in the ICU. The Independent Force Investigation Team, King County, identified the resident being evicted who was involved in the shooting as 29-year-old Eucatus Eucatus. When I see a name like that, which I did learn how to pronounce in the meantime, I said, That's not your name. You didn't come into this world and your parents said, and I now dub thee Eucatus, Eucatus. All hail Eucatus, Eucatus. No, of course. Right? You see a name like that, you're like, that's made up. That's like me walking into the DMV and going, I want to change my name to Princess Chiquita Banana Consuela Banana Hammock. Thank you. Yes, that is what that name is. So, what's his real name? Formerly known as Nathan Stolzig, a transgender woman. Now, this is where I get confused. This is a biological male. All the pictures are biological male. I don't know what all this is about. I think something else is at play here, meaning this is somebody who had their own issues, because only somebody with mental issues opens fire on a sheriff's deputy who's serving an eviction notice. If you're in financial trouble, you know what you do? You ask for help. You go to your parents. You don't have parents, you go to your friends. It turns out mutual aid organizations, who are typically allied with Antifa groups around here, were enabling this guy. You know what you could have done? You could have gotten housing vouchers. You could have gotten housing assistance. You could have asked for one of them hotel rooms. You could have gone to a shelter. There are tons of things you could have done, but instead you opened fire on the cops. And I think that Stolzig realized this, because according to initial reports, Stolzig died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, because when you open fire on cops and when you hit the cops, you got a problem. Here's another thing, by the way. Having been in financial straits before, you know what you start doing? Selling things off. You don't think about selling the gun that's at least worth a few $100s? By the way, was that gun obtained legally? Is that a legal gun? Was it stolen? Was it a ghost gun? Was it illegally given to this person? We don't know, but I have questions. If you have a gun, look, I got some guns that are worth $3,000. If God forbid I'm in financial straits, I got enough guns, I can sell one. Okay, that's one of the first things. What else is sitting around this house? But no, instead, you know what they did? They went out and got 2x4s and metal barricades to barricade themselves because they knew the eviction was coming. So as opposed to asking for help, you did all that? Stolzig was a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. Oh, you mean the guys who believe you never have to pay rent ever again? He even signed a letter during the 2020 BLM Antifa riots that rocked Seattle, calling for then-Mayor Jenny Durkin to resign because she didn't support the riots enough. Stolzig appeared to share the same ideology as Antifa, and there's a post on his deactivated Tumblr account which has a painted-over Gadsden flag, right? Which is basically, they take the flag, they paint it over with all this Antifa stuff, and that's their flag. So they don't just make the flag with the black and red. For them, the shtick is painting over the don't tread on me flag. In a 2017 Quora post, it showed Eucatus splaying what no justice, no peace means. Popular chant at Antifa riots. Quote, no justice, no peace is a direction action and radical leftist chant. Direct action is the practice and theory that social and political change can only be achieved by international and meaningful action which opposes the system or individuals which are responsible. Well, dude, if you had gone to the system, you might still be alive. If you had gone to Homeless Inc., you would definitely still be alive. They'd go, oh, you're transgender. Come right this way. Here's the first apartment we have overlooking Green Lake. Insane. Then he claims it's generally nonviolent. Really? A member of Antifa? That is not to say disrupting peace does not necessitate violence, but there are exceptions. A good example at a peaceful direct action group would be Food Not Bombs, who serve food to the homeless. Uh-huh. Okay, so this guy's advocating for violence. This guy was a somebody with the Democratic Socialists of America because they released a statement. Normally, they can't run away from these kind of people fast enough, but they're embracing the fact that this guy opened fire on police. Seattle members of Democratic Socialists of America were deeply saddened and angered to learn about the death of Yussi. Saddened and angered? He opened fire on the police. A DSA member following an apparent exchange of gunfire during an attempt by King County Sheriff's deputies to evict Yussi from his Ballard apartment. And by the way, those of you who go around with the dead naming garbage, I don't want to hear it. You open fire on anybody, I don't care what you want to be called. I'm calling you what it's going to say on your obituary, where it's going to say, you shot at a cop. You shot at a cop. King County Medical Examiner is ruling the death a suicide. Seattle DSA is urging the media and law enforcement to stop misgendering Yussi, who identified as trans, and to stop calling her by her dead name. You mean Nathan Stolzig, Nathan Stolzig, Nathan Stolzig, Nathan Stolzig? You shoot at somebody, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you want. I'm a polite person. You give me your name. You give me your pronouns. Even if it's Princess Chiquita Banana Consuela Banana Hammock, I will call you that because I'm a nice person. But you shoot at a cop, I'm not putting up with your garbage no more. I'm not enabling your stupidity.
Either way you slice it, it's still their dead name.
Exactly.
Oh, no. That
exactly.
Wasn't.
We're going to get canceled for that one. Oh, God. This is just insane. Meanwhile, we look at the rest of this statement. We will remember and honor the life of what life? What life? They dyed their hair green so beautifully. Wasn't it lovely? Look at the amazing green. Oh, it looks just like Jack Nicholson's Joker. It's incredible. Fantastic. And all those who have been killed by the unjust system, redoubling our commitment to building a socialist future where housing is a human right and where poverty, inequality, racism, sexism, and transphobia are relics of the past. You mean like in the autonomous zone? You guys did a bang-up job with that. Just a great all-around job with your little socialist Chazistan utopia. This is people with mental illness situation who aren't thinking clearly, who say, if I need help, I could ask for help. And instead, you open fire on. Instead, this person just became a martyr. And watch. Let's see which politician now all of a sudden say Rentkin. Which politician they stop? Because then you're going to know which side they're actually on. If they're on the side of anti-democratic socialists of America who want to destroy this country, they want to destroy capitalism. They even say it in the system. They want more cops fired upon. Or if they're on your side as the people who pay their... Got some good news to start off the segment of the swamp today. Our friends over at Newsmax who sponsor this segment have been reinstated to DirecTV. I guess all the pressure and negotiations worked and everything's okay now. So it's good news. If you have DirecTV, you can stop sending AT&T angry texts and instead, my friends, thank them. The same information you use to send angry texts and the angry emails you should be sending right now to say, thank you for listening to your customer base and putting Newsmax back on. They'll be on DirecTV stream on channel 349 today, March 22nd, on UVerse channel 1220 tomorrow, March. They'll be back and good to go. That's some.
Well, and that's a victory for conservative voices because it's not like they're moving other channels that DirecTV has since added. So now there's even more conservative choices in a sea of liberalism out on the. So, yeah, that's a great day for.
Look at it. And also it shows that AT&T, they didn't bend the knee to the woke nonsense. They said, hey, you know what? Our customers aren't happy about this. Maybe this was a little bit too much abridged. Let's not do this. So give kudos where kudos is due. They finally came around. That's some good. Now, here's something else. I saw this article and I thought of you, my listener. I know there were times in my life where I could use some financial advice. We're not giving investment advice. We can't do that legally. But maybe a little help, maybe a little guidance through these difficult times. And I saw this article and I thought there were so many times I was afraid to. There's so many times I got this. I'll figure it out. And this is before Google, right? So I saw this article in the Wall Street and I said, this article will explain to the people out there who don't want to admit they're having a how this interest rate stuff not only affects them, but what you can do about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those personal topics where it's like, you know, topics are kind of hard to talk about sometimes. So
exactly.
I'm really excited to hear what we got.
Okay, so let's go over what is. This is from the Wall Street Journal, not the Ari Hoffman Show, okay? This is them saying this, and I think it's some good stuff. The bar Americans have to clear to get approved for loans and credit cards will likely rise along with interest rates, particularly as a result of the fallout from the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. By the way, that's Silicon Valley Bank, Maxine Waters, who said this today.
My 7 o'clock to get to the bottom of it to the Friday, March 10th and Signature Bank on March 12th.
Silicon Valley Bank? I mean, is that something we get with the plastic surgeon on? Get some implants?
I was going to say that's something else entirely.
Something else entirely.
That's a real Stormy Daniels situation.
Oh, no, you didn't. Anyway, yes, try to lighten the mood before we get into the serious. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates another 0.25% percentage points on Wednesday. That is on the smaller end of over the past. Recent troubles across the board by higher rates will lead banks to toughen pounding the. So according to Timothy Chubb, who's chief investment or Gerard, a wealth management firm, banks will likely be more conservative with who they are lending to in this environment. By the way, if the government hadn't made them lend to just anybody they wanted, then maybe they wouldn't have had some. It's 2008 all over again. These heightened restrictions would make it harder to get a car loan, says Lou Liberatore, director of research at Alexandria Capital, an investment in wealth. The tougher standards would be equivalent to a quarter or a half a point in the Fed's benchmark rate. Said economists, here's the effects. So basically, it makes everything less. What can, idea number one, pay down your credit. The average annual percentage on new credit card offers this month is 23.65%, insane. It's the highest in decades. So the average APR on credit card accounts with balances being carried over from month to month is 20.40%, according to the Fed, the highest since 1990. Someone with $5,000 in debt on a credit card with a 23.65 APR and a $250 monthly payment will make about $1,277 in interest and need 26 months to pay off the balance. They say the damage has already been done to those with credit card debt, says Sh. It's been an absolutely brutal year for those folks, and unfortunately, it is unlikely these rates will start to recede anytime soon. Those saddled with high credit card balances might consider a balance transfer or a lower interest personal loan, said advisors. Two, clean up your credit. With less than stellar credit or shorter credit histories will be affected the most by tightening less standards, they say. So they recommend using larger down payments on any loans when possible to approval. Try to reduce your credit card debt below 50% of your available credit. Pay your bills on time. Clean up any issues with your credit report. That's what their advice is. Even small improvements to your credit score will make a difference on the cost of getting a mortgage. Maximize your savings. Rising rates give savers several ways to earn more money on their cash. Interest rates on certificates of deposit, CODs, are the highest they have been in a decade. Americans can now earn over 5% from a variety of banks, which typically require a 12-month time commitment, rocketed from $36.5 billion in April 2022 to $418.4 billion in January, according to the Federal Reserve, and the accounts are insured by the Federal Deposit. Those unwilling to tie up their savings for months or years might consider a high-yield savings. The average online savings account yield is 5.2%, up from 3.5% in February, says Ken Tooman, senior industry analyst at LendingTree. People with balances greater than $250,000 should make sure their funds are FDIC and spreading their savings across different or employing. Now, I know what a lot of you are saying. Ari, this I'm already in credit card. But you heard what the guy just, whatever you pay down, because every little bit helps. Some advice I got from a financial manager, he was giving a preview to a group of, and I was in the room when this was happening. I wasn't one of the people going through this, but some of the people were. So they brought this at a nonprofit I was working. They said, we forget about our staff sometimes that when you're working for a nonprofit, you're not making a lot of money. And what the guy said, and I will never forget this, there are this world, there are always places in cut that you go, no, but I really like my this, but I really like my that. There are always places. Think about it this way. How much are you spending on Starbucks, right? Are you shopping at the around-the-corner 7-Eleven? Are you shopping at the gas station supermarket? Or could you be buying in bulk at other places? There are always ways to save. They're always, even in time. We go to the KVI studio line, take a call from Art in Kittitas County. Art, what's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, Ari. How you doing?
I am great, my friend. How are you?
Oh, firing the swamp fire, man.
Okay. What's up? How can I help you?
Hey. As far as Trump versus DeSantis, you know, I feel the you know, I feel bad for Donald. What they've done to that man is just beyond the hell. I mean, everybody's got to admit that.
Yep.
But what I liked about DeSantis, and it's what everybody liked about Trump too, or a lot about Trump too, is that his ability to push back against you know the left media, the left state, whatever. But I see DeSantis do that without all
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Art. Let me ask you this, Art. Did you vote for Trump in 2016?
Yes.
Did you vote for Trump in 2020?
Yes.
So nobody can consider you an anti-Trumper or never-Trumper, right?
No. Like you've been saying, if he's the guy on the ticket, come, you know, 2024, he's my guy.
Right. But I think the problem is there's this thing going around now where people say he's entitled to it. Guys, if you want a repeat of 2020, yeah, you may be about to get it, but you got to think about these things. It is okay to say, I loved him as a president, possibly one of our greatest policy-wise. But, you know, all this other stuff is bringing him down, and he couldn't get out of his own way. And he didn't drain the swamp like he promised. In fact, the swamp that he didn't get rid of was part of his downfall. That's part of things that took him out. That administration leaked like a sieve the entire time he was in office. You don't see those kind of leaks coming out of Team DeSantis, do you now?
No. I think DeSantis would do a much better job at that, do a little bit cleaner. You know, I should do a little bit more history research, but he doesn't strike me as the established with, you know, also another, you know, Trump, you know, check the box. Yeah, you know, I'm going to say, well, maybe, you know, hey, Trump DeSantis, let's just get it over with now, just run together. But then, yeah, that's No, go to Santa's. When he gets in, he can make Trump ambassador to the UN. He'd sit right in there.
I would pay money to watch that. I would pay money. Art, appreciate the call. Appreciate you being part of the show. Appreciate you listening. You want to be part of the most dangerous show on the airwaves, give us a call at 206-644-6006 or text us 42157. I am so tired of the government caring about what I do. I've just had enough at this point. At some point, I get a little bit more libertarian in me. I just go, can you leave me alone already? According to KTLA, a proposed California bill could ban the sale of Skittles, hot tamales. Okay, well, I can't eat the Skittles because they ain't kosher. And the hot tamales, I could do without. But wait a minute. Hang on a second. You guys are going to ban double bubble twist gum? How dare you? That's like one of my favorite kinds of gum. What are you people thinking? Yeah, this is just insane, by the way. They're talking about banning those and other food items containing chemicals, and the legislature supporters say they are toxic and dangerous. I don't think anything Skittles or hot tamales are good for you. I mean, isn't gum just rubber you're putting in your mouth? Introduced by Assembly members Jesse Gabriel and Buffy Wicks. Yes, that's what I want. I want law dictated to me by Buffy Wicks. Please tell me your thoughts on life, Buffy. You want to go slay vampires? That's fine. Then I'll listen to what you have to say. AB 418 proposes that California stop manufacturing, selling, or distributing foods that contain red dye number 3, titanium dioxide? We're eating titanium now? Potassium bromate? Brominated vegetable oil? And propylparaben. I don't even know what any of that is, but I'm sure it's in a lot of stuff I eat. These chemicals can cause significant health problems like cancer and behavioral issues in children. Hang on. This was in a news release? Giving kids candy can make them hyper and behavioral issues? Oh, stop the presses. Wow. I mean, that's like breaking news. In other words, in other news, water. Still wet. While many Californians don't recognize these chemicals by name, they can be found in popular food and drink items. Well, according to Label Insights, titanium dioxide can be found in cupcakes, trail mix, and ice cream. See, I told you, shopping at the PCC just ain't good for you. The trail mix, it's all kinds of bad news. Propylparaben and caramel chocolate. You're going after my caramel chocolate and my double bubble? What is wrong with you people? Quote, Californians shouldn't have to they buy in their name. Might be full of dangerous addictives or toxic chemicals. You know, there's that whole thing on the side that tells you, and you don't have to buy it. If I want a little bit of sugar, I'm going to buy a little bit of sugar. If I want a little I'm going to buy some. Because, you know, the bubble gum is really good. This bill would curtail lack of federal oversight and help protect our kids. Public. What if they say donuts are for you? Oh, wait, donuts are bad. What if they say no more donuts? What if they say no more, I don't know, you name it, Twizzler? I know, everybody around here is going to be like, well, if they ban red vines, that's a problem. Twizzlers, I don't care about. Many of the chemicals that would be banned have never been independently reviewed by the FDA or reevaluated in decades, according to Gabriel. So why not send in the FDA to see if they're actually dangerous? Why not reevaluate them before you bring this legislation? Instead, the nation's food supply through a loophole in federal law. Known as generally recognized as safe, that was intended to apply to common household ingredients like vinegar or turpentine. As a result of this loophole, chemical companies have added new substances to food supply with almost no meaningful federal insight. Yes, I need the federal government in my lunchbox. AB 318 has been double referred. Will be heard by the Environment and Toxic Materials Committee first. If passed, it will head to the Assembly's Health Committee. As of Tuesday, there was no hearing date set for the first committee. Next stars, KTXL reached out to the office of Assembly member Jim Wood, who chairs the Health Committee, but he declined to comment on the bill before a hearing. He said he would voice his recommendations once the bill came before committee and the testimony. The bill would need to pass both houses and state legislature and signed by Governor Gavin Newsom before it becomes law. California would be the first state to have such a law if the bill does advance. And you know what's going to happen? Those companies, all that money, are going to have a complete meltdown, which is why I'm guessing, man, whew, I thought that was going to be about like the candy's racist. We had a lot of stories about racist candy recently. I assumed that was what was going on. Oh, yeah. In other news with regard to any of that, I love how America thinks it can dictate whatever it wants to the rest of the world. Now you got Karine Jean-Pierre talking about what's going on in Uganda.
I want to say one thing at the time. We have grave concerns with the passage and increasing violence targeting elders. If the AHA is, it would in universe jeopardize in Uganda. Damn it.
Hey, I got a question for you. Are you still giving money to Iran? Are you still giving money to Iran? Because you know they execute people in the LGBTQ plus IA community. Are you still giving money to the Palestinians? Because you're not allowed to be that in the West Bank or Gaza. So all this virtue signaling about Uganda, either put up or shut up, guys. Put your money where your mouth is. Stop funding these terrorist regimes and stop talking about this stuff or stop talking about this stuff. Just insane, this like nonsense. It is time for a brand new category called Seattle or Gotham. That's right. Things have gotten so bad here. I am expecting the Penguin to come up out of a manhole. I am expecting to see Catwoman breaking into jewelry stores. Well, maybe if the homeless looked more like Catwoman, I wouldn't dislike him so much. I'm just throwing that out there. Anyway, I'm looking at these stories. Thank you. Yes. One after another. The crime stories I'm seeing here, this is like the crud I used to read in the New York Post when I lived in New York. This isn't the stuff I'm used to seeing around here. Around here, it used to be, did it rain last night? Did the Mariners win or lose? And are there baby animals at the zoo? Oh, and what's happening in the life of Jimi Hendrix now that he's been dead for years, right? That's usually the kind of stuff you would see in the news. But instead, it's like Mad Max around here these. Last night, I'm at home minding my own business when I see this. Homicide detectives are investigating a North Seattle shooting that killed one man and sent to the hospital late Tuesday night. By the way, it's not just a shooting in North Seattle. It was a Gasworks Park. You know, the place where we all go watch the fireworks? The place where we enjoy ourselves? The place where Heath Ledger and a girl whose name I can't remember from 10 Things I Hate About You had a paintball fight where I'm like, there's no paintballing in Gasworks Park. And when you go paintballing, you don't throw it at each other. You shoot it at each other. What kind of Julia Stiles? What kind of lame paintballing is that? That's right. The human IMDb may be a little slow, but
I couldn't swing my microphone around quick enough. It's like, it's a pretty hard swing sometimes. This microphone arm is pretty long.
Yes. So Heath Ledger and Julia Stiles having paintball fights in the Gasworks Park. Yeah, they don't there, but okay. So according to the Seattle Police Department, officers arrived at Gasworks Park shortly after 11 p.m. to find two men with gunshot wounds. Officers performed life-saving measures on both men until Seattle Fire Department personnel arrived. One victim was pronounced dead at the scene. The other was taken to the hospital with a serious injury. Oh, you mean a gunshot wound? Yeah, I would think that's a Seattle homicide detectives are leading the investigation. Police are asking anyone with information about the incident to call SPD's violent crime tip line at 203-5000. By the way, I should just memorize that one the way I do our studio line, the legislative hotline. That one should just be there because we're throwing it out there all the time. Wait, got another one for you here. This one, according to Como News, Seattle police arrested a man Wednesday afternoon in connection to a massive fire that involved dozens of boats at a boat storage facility near the Ship Canal Bridge. Wait a minute. What's near the Ship Canal Bridge? Hang on. Wait a minute. Don't tell me. Jay Inslee was there yesterday. It smells really bad. It's bad for the environment. No, I don't mean a lithium mine for your electric car. I mean, that's right. Hey, hang on. Oh, we can open it up to people. Yep. Thank you, Mike. 206-421-5757. 206-421-5757. Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, it's a massive homeless encampment. Right. Yes. Whoa, what was that? That came out of nowhere. Smack you right across the face.
I was trying to transition from the Jeopardy theme music that still had 10 seconds left on it. I'm trying to radio over here.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know.
I won't dance in your dance space. You don't dance in my space. I get it. Anyway, Seattle Fire Department Deputy Chief Tom Walsh said more than 100 firefighters from Seattle Boat Company, located at 700 block of Northeast North Lake Way, after reports the fire started coming in around 2 a.m. on Wednesday when crews arrived. Wall said the thick black was coming from the fire and flames and were estimated to be high in the air. Now, here's a little thing I'm not getting here. I'm looking at an overhead image of this. It doesn't look like it's the boat. Normally, I'd say something like this, somebody living on their boat, kind of like living in an RV sometimes, unfortunately, where people just like getting disrepair. It seemed like that. Seems like something else was going on here. The fire department said crews found a man on one of the boats docked near the fire. The 32-year-old was taken to Harborview Medical Center, where he was questioned by police. According to the Seattle Police Department, detectives in the arson bomb squad identified the man as a suspect in the fire. Police arrested him for investigation, and he will be booked into the King County Jail once he is cleared. James Baker, who is the manager for the Seattle Boat Company, said, "We are very saddened to see this loss for all these. Very thankful for our responders." Mike, email favor.
Sure.
Can you just send me an email? that says, please contact Seattle Boat Company and see if they'll come on the show, because I actually take my boat there for stuff from time to time, and see if they need a little help. Let's help out our friends at the Seattle Boat. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. The fire was located just under the Ship Canal Bridge. The Seattle Fire Department tweeted that approximately 30 boats stacked in dry storage were involved in the fire. Walsh initially said at the scene that up to 42 boats may have been destroyed. Walsh said one other building was involved in the two-alarm fire, but added that the building was said a lot of challenges with this. Every boat has a gas tank. Every boat has oil in it. Every boat has fiberglass. You can see they're stacked like wood, so it's just ripe to get a big fire out of it. I remember there was this water skiing company at a camp I used to work for. I used to do a lot of water skiing, and we used to keep our boat on racks like this. And I remember one night there was a fire. We came in the next morning, and it had started by a boat called the Seagar. The Seagar, get it? So what was kind of sad, funny, and tragic all at the same time was this thing had burned almost all the way up to the bow, the stern, where the name was. And I'm like, well, you went through that Seagar pretty well. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Anyway, it's really sad. George Rockwell, who knows the family running the business called the fire, says just devastating. Lucky no life was lost. Heart and soul. And summertime around the corner, it's going to be very hard to replace. Crews were able to get the fire under control by 4:30 a.m. No injury reported. North Lake Way remained closed for several hours. The Seattle Fire Department, Puget Sound Energy, City Light, Department of Ecology, and the U.S. Coast responded to kind of curious what this guy's motivation was. Do we think it was a homeless guy trying to start a fire there thinking nobody would stop him? For warmth, anything like that? Was it an arsonist? Was it an insurance payoff? Was it somebody who's mad at the company? We're going to keep following the story and let you know. And then here we go. The return of people throwing things off of overpasses. Yes, that is back again. What was that? My first year on air around here? So what? Like the first summer I was on air, every single day it was people throwing things off overpasses at cars. So according to Como News, it's happening again. That is the reaction many had after hearing another driver traveling on Interstate 90 at Rainier Avenue South had a rock thrown into his windshield. Hey, guys, you know that big fire at the 7-Eleven I told you about yesterday? Guess what that's near? The 90 interchange. So clinic over there. There's also homeless encampments over there. Huh. What could be causing all this? I have no idea. Driver shared photos that show the point of impact on the windshield that pierced the glass. He said happened Tuesday morning while he was driving along the interstate. For the driver, did not go through the interior of the truck. This is a scary picture. Let me describe it to you. This rock created a thing that looks like a massive circle of spider webbing smack dab in the middle of the windshield. The guy was lucky he was able to see and not get in an accident. That's absolutely horrifying. I remember when we were covering this during the second summer of love, when we found a video that somebody sent us of one of those electronic scooters being thrown off an I-5 overpass and literally bouncing across the highway. You see these cars moving out of the way. Driver told Como via email he was very angry about being ambushed by the unhoused who are mad at the world. That's nicer terminology than I would use. It's unclear who threw the rock or if it was someone living on the interstate. Gee, who else do you think it would be? This is a massive rock. This isn't a pebble. This isn't the kind of thing that you just get out of the car wash and you're driving on the highway behind a big truck and then it, you know, hits your windshield. It's not that. Some massive brick type thing must have. It's unclear who threw the rock. The driver filed a report with the Washington State Patrol, and Trooper Rick Johnson told Como News that keeping the state's highways safe are a priority. BS. BS. It's not a priority. You let people live on the interstates. You let people camp on the medians of the interstates. You don't value this as a priority. The governor does not value this as a priority. The Democrats do not value this as a priority. If they want to keep the interstate safe, they would value police pursuits that stop criminals. He says it's just unacceptable. It's frustrating, said Andy, whose car was hit by an object. Somebody's going to get killed. Stephen said someone threw an object onto his sunroof while he was driving with his wife and then one-year-old daughter. Imagine how much worse that could have been than... Stephen said, but we had the cover closed that day. Thank God. Glass definitely would have rained down on her. Stephen's car got hit in the same area where the rock was thrown Tuesday morning along I-90 eastbound at Rainy South. Mike, I don't know if you remember this. I'm trying to rack my brain. What was it like? 2 months of this?
Yeah.
Before they actually cleared that encampment?
Well, in fact, it was happening so often that I was convinced we were doing the same story multiple times. And I remember having to do like extra vetting to make sure. It's like, no, this is a different one.
Yes.
This one's throwing a bike off the overpass.
Right.
That one was a cinder block. That was yesterday's news.
You know, the only way I could tell the difference was when they had a picture of the vehicle. That was the only, because I remember one of them distinctly was the car I drive. It was a Dodge Challenger.
That's right.
Because that one, they couldn't avoid an accident. They couldn't see where they were going or they were shocked or whatever it was. And they got plowed into by a truck. The thing looked like a sardine. So In the same area, the State Patrol ramped up patrols and enforcement to go after rocks, a toaster oven, and other debris, including bicycles and scooters and you name it, were hurled into passing vehicles. Two people were arrested at the time. One of them, a Seattle man, was sentenced in October after throwing rocks at multiple vehicles on I-90. The judge sentenced him to 12 months in community custody and, given time for credit served, approximately 452 days in the King County Jail. Wait a minute. It's been 2 years, and then last year, maybe this fellow's been released already? Uh-huh. Beacon Hill resident Monique Zhang said, "I thought it was done. I thought it ended last year. I don't know who's out there. It's an area of the... But today, there are tents and tons of debris littering the side of I-90. It's on and off. By the way, you want something fascinating for your own edification? When you're driving out of Seattle today and you're on the I-90 bridge, you could tell exactly where Seattle's journey ends by where the graffiti ends. Every time I go on that, I'm just like, I'd film a video. You could tell where Seattle's... Hey, Bruce Harrell. Hey, Jay Inslee. You guys going to do anything about this? You're going to let it be 2 months again? Yeah, by the way, you know what I think this time? I think it'll actually be longer. In an email, WashDot said, this is something that is problematic and a serious matter. How about life and death, huh? WashDot said it is illegal and anyone who sees something should call 911. How about you clear those homeless encampments right now? We really have become... Literally every story I saw on Como News last night was about crime. This morning, Fed interest rates and crime. It's all they talk about. That's how bad it's getting out of control. Oh, whenever I think things are bad in Washington, I just look down the left coast and I say, wow, they're so much worse. I could be living in Portland. Here's a news story for you. The union representing Portland's transit workers is calling out far-left Multnomah County District Attorney for not prosecuting offenders after assaults on drivers. AT-757, the TriMet's drivers, said there are hundreds of assaults or assaults against, including 170. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now, because I'm thinking, hey, they're unions. They probably supported this you-know-what. They probably put them into office. They're getting what they deserve. You guys know, as well as I do, that a lot of times these do not represent the best interest of their members. I'll be saying they're actually calling these guys out, union's vice president, TU. I'm not aware of any of those going to prosecution on an assault. As far as I know, the DA's office has either dropped the charges or settled on a plea deal with him. He noted that he does not see the same lax prosecuting in nearby counties. There's a stark difference when something happens on a bus out in Washington, Clackamas County, and the response is quite different than here in Multnomah. I know, us here in Washington got the same problem. I mean, we rename everything on the East. Casey added that drivers should not have had that level of fear. The latest criticism leveled at the office of activist prosecutor Mike Schmidt comes after 8-year-old Anna Karen Perez Velador allegedly stabbed a bus driver in the leg. We did that story last week, remember? Her and some dude she was with were the last people on a bus at the end of the line. Bus driver said, end of the line. And they said, no, we're going to stab you instead. And they were intoxicated or high or something at the time with multiple felonies, including second degree assault and unlawful use of a weapon. I'm shocked she was charged. I really am. Maybe it's just because the story made headlines. Because apparently, according to the transit drivers union, nobody else gets charged. Despite the seriousness of the charges, he doubts that the progressive DA will end up prosecuting Perez Velador, stating, we have zero confidence that Mike Schmidt and his office is going to prosecute people the way that Schmidt's office told KTU that it will be setting up a meeting with ATU 757 sometime this week or next. No big deal. Whenever we feel like it, we'll have a meeting with these people who are complaining. No big deal. Anytime at all. It's nothing, not like, you know, your entire transit. Casey is skeptical it'll happen. We've tried to have meetings with them. We don't really get anywhere with Mike Schmidt Wheeler. Clackamas County and Washington County's DAs, it was a story. There was a lot of engagement and talk with them. So we don't seem to have prosecuting in counties the way we... Meanwhile, that's not the only insanity going on. A Portland, Oregon woman is speaking out after a homeless man repeatedly threatened to burn her house down when she confronted him about his tent, which had been set up next to her house by communist Antifa-linked group accused of exploiting the city's unhoused for profit. According to KPTV, on the morning of March, Vivica Elliott left her home in North Portland and was spotted a big canvas tent on the other side of a wall that separates her property. Elliott said the problem was not simple, but that the homeless people had been throwing trash and fed up. She confronted the woman, pack up. She said he responded by threats, set fire to her home. He said, I'm going to burn your house down. He said it four times. Elliott called the police, but no arrests were made. I wonder if anybody actually picked up the... I had a friend tell me that the other day he called 911 here in Seattle three times, and he was put on hold every single time. It never actually spoke to the man's tent, any tents throughout Portland, and provided and set up by the People's Housing LLC. Oh, sounds like one of these Antifa-affiliated. The group has lying homeless with tents since 2020. after the Portlandist was barred from newly elected Rene Gonzalez, who cited a number of reasons to practice. Wait a second. They used to let them just go ahead setting up these tents once they cleared a homeless encampment? Wow, that sounds just like around here. Maybe we should shut down the mutual aid groups. Maybe we should say that's illegal. I don't think it's such a stretch to say you shouldn't be allowed to set up tents on city sidewalks. Can we agree on that? You want to discuss parks? Hey, I think it's wrong. But you want to have an argument over that? Okay, you're going to lose. But we can have an argument over that. But on the sidewalks, how are you people who are all about accessibility for those who are disabled? Oh, we need our walking distance. Oh, we need our bike lights. Oh, if there was a tent and a bike light. Oh, then they'd bring in the military. They'd bring in the SWAT team to clean out the tent and the bike lane. People's Housing Project website. According to the Post, Millennial tries to hide who runs the business, saying there are currently five of us who collectively run the group. An investigation by Andy No can reveal that four of these members are self-admitted communists. Brian Kim, Zachary Forster, Breeze Pollard, and Joseph Cambroni, also known as Jorah Hollander. In a statement to KP, set up tents all over town. Forster was arrested at a Black Lives Matter Antifa riot in Portland in October of 2020, where local Immigration and Customs Instagram username is Kami Otter. And in one photo, he posed in front of a message that read, "Queer Pollard, a 27-year-old woman, on suspicion of resisting an officer." In an October 2021 photo of Kim and Forster, Kim captioned it, "The greatest fear of the right wing, a Judeo-Bolshevik conspiracy against whiteness in capital." I don't even know what's, I need like a woke dictionary. Do they make such a thing? If so, I'm not. In November of 2022, the People's Housing Project manager, Brian Kim, was asked by homeless resident Natasha Melton to stop using images and encampment in the cease and desist. It was argued that they were operating a fake charity scam to exploit houseless. Prey and her team had explained that the company had $40,000 in the name of homeless throughout the Portland since October to fund me. She stated that the People's Housing Project allegedly spent a whopping and other expenses such as t-shirts, with only 20% going to homeless community. The company was not registered with the Oregon Department of Justice Charitable Act, and thus any were legally taxable. On their website, People's Housing Project states that they never take money from any large corporation, capitalist political parties, or government. Hey, where do you think all the money comes from that you guys get? From people who are paid by... The business brands itself on being staunchly anti-capitalist, claiming to work in the class struggle and solving the homeless crisis. Is Vivica Elliott been dealing with the homeless? Told local media, "I don't think they see what they're really doing to neighborhoods and people that live there." Yup. Oh, by the way, according to the Oregonian, that's like their version of the Seattle Times, of the roughly 1,700 homeless people Portlanders offered shelter to during some encampments over 2022, just 11% remain in some form of temporary shelter, and fewer than 1% are permanently housed. Do you know what that means? Most of them went back to the 2/3 of people swept from camps declined the offer of temporary shelter, the county reported. So the majority of them didn't even accept it. Among the other third who did move indoors, the typical individual stated is back on the streets at another, this adds up to as many 89% individuals cleared from an encampment, back sleeping unsheltered somewhere in. Well, these groups are doing a bang up job. Let me tell you, they're just enabling this crisis, enabling more crime, more drug use, enabling it to just get worse. Gee, I can't imagine why all these businesses are moving out of Portland. I'm shocked I didn't have another chain to announce today. It just seems like every single day around here, we're announcing another chain that's closing in Portland, not Oregon, but Portland. This is what happens when you defund your, when you allow anarchy. Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show. Governor Jay Inslee, our benevolent dictator, who claims to be Captain Planet and that he's all in favor of the environment, was out here in Seattle yesterday wandering around a homeless encampment, which is filled with pollution, which came to fruition on his watch. Well, that's not the only climate goal he's missing. Joining us now in the KVI studio line to discuss from the Washington Policy Center, a friend of the show, Todd Myers. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Yeah, always nice to chat with you.
So it seems like Governor Jay Inslee had a goal with regard to electric vehicles, and he missed that one along with every other target goal he has. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so electric vehicles and the, you know, pushing electric vehicles has been a key part of his rhetoric about reducing CO2 emissions. Washington State has signed on to California's requirements that 100% of new passenger vehicles be electric by 2035. Well, the governor wanted to show that he was leading the way on that. In early 2019, he set a goal that for the fiscal year 2021, Washington State agencies, 50% of the vehicles that they, passenger vehicles that they purchased, would be electric. So I happened to bump into this recently when I was looking at some other things, and I decided to see how we did. Well, obviously 2020 was a strange year, but in 2019, the goal was 20%. and they only met 11%. And so now that we have been buying cars again, I asked the agencies how they were doing in 2022 and 2023, and the number is about 25%. So his goal was 50% in 2021, and here we are in 2023, and we're still far below his own target. And I think it's just a good example of how his actions don't match his rhetoric, and how they're very strict when it comes to demanding that everybody else meet his targets, but very lax when meeting them themselves.
Giving him benefit of the doubt, even though he deserved it, even though I'm a new one. So do you think it's perhaps the fact that they don't have electric snowplows yet, that they don't have electric garbage trucks yet, that they don't have the practical utility vehicles that these guys need, that they say they have these electric pickup trucks, but most of them aren't ready for the road and they cost too much money, even though the government doesn't have a problem spending the money? Do you think it's a practical disconnect where he can make a promise like this but not realize they don't have them yet?
I think it's even worse than that, because they exempted large pickup trucks and then specialty vehicles like the ones you're talking about. So they knew that it was only going to be passenger vehicles, and yet they're nowhere close to meeting their own goal on passenger vehicles. And what's interesting is that last 2 years ago, rather, the governor had a proclamation to increase the percentage of electric vehicles purchased by a state agency. And then he had a meeting with those agencies a month later, and he asked them, how can we meet this target that I've set? So the target is totally arbitrary. It was just a made up round number that they didn't know how to meet. And then, you know, going back and saying later, can we even achieve this? And I think that's the problem, is that rhetoric, not reality, is driving our climate policy.
This is what happens when who's never run a business, or also they don't understand things work. I mean, let's take me for a minute. When I first got into the event rental business, I didn't know a lot about trucks. I had to learn how they work. I had to learn how you drive them, what you can load them with, what that overdrive does, what your transmission does, downshifting, trailering, all that kind of stuff. Somebody who's never done that doesn't understand any of that. But then on top of it, even if we had all these electric cars that Jay Inslee wants us to buy, doesn't that mean we don't have enough power for it? Because isn't that going to put a strain on our power grid?
Well, I think there's two things there. One is that when you had to learn about trucks, you were accountable. If you didn't learn, your business failed. And so you were accountable for results. So you couldn't just sort of shrug and say, oh, sorry, I don't know how to run these trucks. You had to do that or you lost. That's not the case with politicians and the governor in particular, right? He repeatedly misses these targets and yet doesn't pay a price. There's no accountability for his failure, which is why if we truly care about the environment, we need to shift responsibility and shift power from politicians who have no accountability to people who do. That's where you see the best environmental results, which is why markets are best for environmental sustainability, not politics. With regard to the power, absolutely. I mean, what we're seeing is a big increase in demand for power in Washington State with those electric vehicles. Pacific Northwest National Labs estimates that power rates during peak hours, which is in the early evening, would double in 2030 if we stay on track with the electric vehicle purchases that the governor wants. So it's very expensive, and our ability to meet these goals, either just simply to buy the electric vehicles or meet the power, have the power that's necessary, I think is very dubious and is more political.
We're talking about small friend of the show, because anytime I have an environment, I always go to things. By the way, love your book, sitting on my bedside table. Thought it was great. Thought it was practical. Everybody should have a copy of it. But then talking about this problem with the electrical grid, right now the electrical grid seems okay, but they want to bust down the Silver Dams. So doesn't this just mean that if they go ahead with this plan to electrify all the vehicles, one, we're not going to have enough power. We're going to have to buy it from other places. Two, we're going to be getting it from places that aren't clean. And three, everybody's going to go buy their cars in Idaho.
All of those things are true. On the last point, though, they're one step ahead of you, which is that it would be illegal to buy a gas car and then bring it into Washington State. So, I mean, that's how restrictive these things get, is that they have to sort of create this web of regulation to enforce these what are really arbitrary rules. And in terms of tearing down the Snake River dams, it's totally absurd. The people who want to tear down the dams, all of the analyses that they have provided show two things. One, that replacing it is very expensive, and second, that they can't even replace all of the electricity that they would tear down. So it's a lot of wishful thinking at a time when we're going to need increased electricity demand. Saying that what we need to do is to tear down the dams and pay more for less electricity is just is totally fanciful.
And meanwhile, aren't we California that have issues with power? So what? We want to become reliant on others? Doesn't make any sense to me, especially when you look at California, who the amount of water they are flushing right into the ocean from the massive snowstorm they had. They had no infrastructure. And how many infrastructure bills have we had? How many projects have they had? But they have no dams, no reservoirs, none of that. And we know in California it's boom or bust. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. We want to be like them.
Well, we actually already trade, and I think we should trade. I mean, we need electricity in the winter. They need electricity in the summer. And so I think that trade is overall a good thing. But what that shows is that, you know, bad energy policies in another state like California impact us. And we see this when the California had their energy shortage last September. Our spot rate went up, and the prices in the Tri-Cities and Spokane and other places like that were almost the same as they were in Sacramento, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Not because our energy policy caused it, but because California's bad energy policy. So we are part of a grid. We are already seeing those impacts. But what that means is we can't shoot ourselves in the foot because we are also simultaneously having to deal with the impacts of their bad policies. And if we weaken ourselves, it makes it just that much more likely that we'll see blackouts like they are.
The book is small. You can get it anywhere you get your books. Todd Myers, environmental. Thank you so much for...
It's very nice to chat with you.
A whole lot more to discuss, including the latest fallout from the Rona. Give you all the details from Capitol Hill today. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KV. Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show. And speaking of bad medicine, the CEO of Moderna was testifying on Capitol Hill today. And Rand Paul was really giving it to him about possibility that there were kickbacks between them, government. Well, would that really surprise anybody at this point?
Recently paid NIH $400 million. Do you believe it creates a conflict of interest for the government employees who are making money now off of the vaccine to also be dictating the policy about how many times we have to take the vaccine?
Good morning, Senator. Indeed, we recently made before Christmas last year, a $400 million payment to the NIH for an old patent that they had developed, not related to COVID, but useful in the development of a COVID vaccine to pay them for their work. It's for the U.S. government to assess how that money should be used.
Do you think it creates a conflict of interest for the same people deciding the policy of how often we have to take the vaccine to also be making money the more times we take the vaccine? Yes or no?
This is for the government to decide, Senator.
You have no opinion on whether or not it creates a conflict of interest.
Dollars, the vaccine. Of course it's a conflict of interest. Of course it is. $400 million. I thought this was about saving the species. I thought this was keeping us all at $400 million. By the way, you know what that means? U.S. government gave them X amount of money to make the vaccine. How many gajillions of dollars did they give them? Oh, here's a little taste. Just a little taste. We'll give this back to you. Of course. Meanwhile, don't forget, Rand Paul is also a doctor, an actual doctor, not like Dr. Jill Biden. If, God forbid, you have a heart attack, you can call Dr. Rand Paul to help you out. Don't call Dr. Jill Biden. She'll give you a lecture on how you can make a school a terrible place. But Dr. Rand Paul knows exactly what he's talking about and started talking to this guy who's the CEO of a big pharma company who should know whether or not these shots are dangerous for kids, don't you think?
I'm not a clinician. I will have to discuss.
You have children.
I do.
Have you vaccinated your children?
I have.
How many times?
Three or four times.
Three or four times.
Three or four times is not following the science with regards to kids. They are not at risk for this thing at all. Do they have extra arms by now? What's going on with them?
Also, three or four?
Right.
Which is it? Three or four?
Don't you know? And I'm going to say, you beat me to it, Mike. When you say three or four, I got questions. I have questions about that because every parent knows. Look, I can tell you how many shots. I can tell you my daughter had none. I can tell you one of my son had two and one of them had three because he was on their work. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. Boom. Look how easy that was. And it was a while ago. Hang on. How long?
I was going to say that was a while ago. Oh, man. You still have like, you didn't get like your toaster?
No, because I didn't go for the multi-pack. I didn't get a whole bunch of vaccines, right? So I've got this sucker. So let's see. I got the first jab on March 17th, 2021.
And then you're kind of protected.
Well,
yes.
I don't know if I think I'm protected because I got COVID like six times in between.
But oh, then, that's probably part of your problem. Don't make me start
I got my second one on April 7th, 2021 because this is all because I wanted to go visit.
Yeah.
That's what this whole thing. So I go get these things done. So I could work for Governor Jay Inslee now, even though this thing is long gone.
Right.
and all its protection is gone. I could work for Washington State, but you know those firefighters who've had COVID half a dozen times. By the way, Senator Johnson was calling out the Biden administration for refusing to provide Congress with unredacted emails regarding COVID. Remember, there was that unanimous, that never happens, the unanimous by Congress vote for us to declassify everything regarding COVID. And what does the Biden administration do? Redacted. Was Hunter Biden involved in this somehow? Give a listen.
By the way, we're down. You have produced 350 pages to us in the reading room. For over a year, we've been asking for the last 50 pages. This is what the 50 pages look like, okay? Now, again, I would argue congressional oversight should not be subject to the same redaction that were applied under FOIA request. I'm asking you, will you commit today to provide our oversight? And Senator Paul's on this now. Again, we had five members of Homeland Security Government Affairs under a law that says you shall provide this. Commit to provide us the last 50 pages of communication between Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins, Jamie Farrar, as relates to the origin. Will you commit to that?
Senator, we follow up with request information. Again, this is compliance with the law that you information. I don't know what particular statute regard to disclosure is applied here, but you are absolutely entitled to information that by law, member of.
Yeah, again, it's you're not complying with the law because you're redacting things, for example, under deliberative process between and within agencies, and it's communication outside of the agency with the Wellcome Trust. Again, these redactions are not complying with the law.
I completely agree. If it was to declassify everything, why are you, what don't you want them to see? And at this point, payoffs, medical aid, with all the problems we know we have, with all, who knows what Joe Biden was working out with China at this time? We don't know. We don't know. There may be nothing there, but we don't know. The only way we're going to know is if we get the best. By the way, how's it going with all the studies of Iceland people by aid, talking about the vaccine? Yeah, they weren't done with this Moderna guy.
All of the studies who isolate out people by age have found that, yes, there's an increased risk after taking your vaccine. Pfizer, too, but worse with Moderna.
There's an increased risk, Senator. I was comparing it to somebody who gets COVID.
Well, that's also not true either. But there's an increased risk of getting it. But even when they compare it to the disease, there are many papers out there that do show that there's more of a risk of myocarditis after vaccination. So you have to weigh the risk and balance it.
Not just that. There's something else out there he's talking about. Have you noticed that everybody who's gotten theirs and then their other, seems to be getting COVID a lot more often? That's held up by the science. That's held up by the studies. That this thing may actually be overloading your immune system. I'm not going to pretend I'm a doctor and explain I know exactly. But there is something to do this from material I've been reading. And no, I'm getting them off normal way. Where you're looking at these, and it shows people who get booster after booster after booster are getting COVID more and more and more often. So either we have a problem with our testing, or there's something about these shots they're not telling us. Perhaps they were not as advertised. And these days, it just seems like everything now all turn out to be something that they were hiding for, or keeping. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting pretty sick and tired of that happening. I'd rather you just come out with it and say it, and we would have had a better response to COVID at the same time. Well, this just came out today. Heard this, that a 2018 letter from former President Trump lawyer Michael Cohen's team to officials of federal election has revealed that the then president was not involved in the payment of alleged hush money to Stormy Daniels. The letter obtained by the Daily Mail stated that it was Cohen who paid Daniels $130,000 out of his own, quote, in a private transaction in 2016 before the U.S. presidential election. Mr. Cohen used his own a payment of $130,000 to Miss Stephanie Clifford. That's her real name? I knew Stormy Daniels. Neither the Trump Organization nor the Trump campaign was a party to the transaction, and neither reimbursed Mr. Cohen for the payment. Or Cohen's team went on to explain that neither Mr. Cohen nor us made any in-kind contribution, any other presidential campaign, nor was Cohen a government employee at the time. Thus, they argued in question does not constitute a campaign contribution or expense, and therefore the FE lacks over legit. That's the end of this. That is the end of it. And Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA who's trying to make a name for himself, he's going to make a name for himself, all right, as being the guy who got it completely wrong. There are so desperate to prosecute Trump that they will do anything. Never mind the fact that the case, if it was a misdemeanor, passed its statute of limitations in New York because this happened back in 2006. Never mind the fact that if this is a felony, according to the state of New York, that's 5 years long past for that picture of him and him. They are so desperate for that perp walk. They will literally anything. Next, you're going to hear, when this case completely falls apart, you're going to hear about Georgia. You're going to hear about whatever Bob Ferguson's trying to do. You're going to hear about something out of D.C. Just watch. They're not going to let. Or is it something else going? Is Bragg getting, because so many people are saying he's going up in the polls. This isn't what we need. This isn't what we want. You have gotten off message. We have been able to mention January 6th in like a week. In like a week, we haven't been able to mention all this. What are you doing? Yeah. Look at this insanity. Trump has only gotten more. But I think at the end of the day, a lot of you are like, love president, loved him as a president, thought his, but I'm done with, I'm just tired of it. I'm going to defend him against garbage, because if they could do this to him, they could to us. But at the same time, it doesn't Trump going out there and saying, why isn't Ron DeSantis doing something about this? He has no, he's a governor of New York, he's attorney of Manhattan. He can't do anything about this whatsoever. Attacking DeSantis, said yesterday, is a really dumb play. Equally, King Trump right. Trump is like a black hole. Gets sucked to Trump. That's pretty much what happened during the primary in the 2016. So leading up to that, all the candidates were saying, we're not going to bash Trump. We're not going to bash Trump. So they became supporters of Trump. Same thing happened to Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz learned that the hard way until it was almost too late. And that was the end. That was a pretty bad political mistake when he was running against Trump. But this narrative that's out there of, oh, Trump deserves this nomination. It was stolen from him. The election was stolen from him. Guys, nobody deserves it. That's the same garbage they said about Hillary. And I don't want to, if he earns it, I'll support. But a lot of people go, Now, this interview may have been an unforced error by, now, these things take a while to prep, a while to prep. And he may have done this interview last Friday, before the news broke, about this possible indictment in New York. And back then, it wouldn't have been a tactical. But right now, when everybody's saying, hey, you got to stand by Trump, because really, these Democrats can do this to anybody, and they're going to do some kind of inside. They only love George W. Bush when he's out of office. Do you remember how they pilloried that guy when he was in office? Neo-Nazi, white supremacist, Hitler. They said that kind of stuff all the time. So right now, everybody's on Trump. Every candidate has said, every potential candidate has said, that this prosecutor, it makes no sense. What happened was Piers Morgan, in these clips we have that were leaked to this interview, started asking about the potential election, and he started mentioning Trump by name, just like in marketing. Never mention your opponents in campaigning. Mention your opponents. But he started talking about this kind of stuff, and it may be an unforced error on the part of first one I can say. It may not have been their fault. Things on the ground changed before this. So first, Piers Morgan was asking about running for president.
No, I didn't say that. I just said I think I could. I mean, I think that that's, I mean, if you look at Florida.
Who would be harder to beat, Biden or Donald Trump?
I don't know. Those are two different.
They are two different. Because let's go through this. For a single poll we've seen so far, Biden gets beaten by DeSantis. Trump gets beat. That's every poll. Now, you guys are going to say, Ari, polls are wrong. Yeah, they're wrong and they're right. But that seems to be the general feel of things. Because the way I see it, you think Trump is going to pick up more independent bourbon with this whole porn star thing, or you think it's going to cost him? It may win him the nomination in the Republican Party in the election. And still, nobody has given close to those seven game factors are going to be on the ground. They're going to have all the mail-in, they're going to have ballot harvesting. All that is still going to be there. Donald Trump ran the first time, won the first time, because you ran him against the world's worst. And Donald Trump was able to build a coalition, not just of Republicans, because he lost a lot, but of people who said, I want a taste of that Donald Trump American. And they joined in on that. They joined in the frustration of, I'm an outsider, I'm not establishment. But now Trump has a record. And while his policies are very good, there's some other things that aren't great. For example, he surrounded him with a lot of people who sucked at the job and worked against his agenda. Conversely, you had Ron DeSantis, who puts very good people in office who are loyal to him and enact his agenda. Donald Trump lost the midterms after he got elected. He lost the 2018 midterms. He lost the 2020 election. He lost the 2022 midterms. That's fact. So now you have DeSantis, won by 0.4% his first campaign, then won by 20, and in the process got a supermajority in the Florida legislature. And candidates he helped got elected. Meanwhile, candidates Donald Trump helped this last time around got crushed. Is this whole thing with Alvin Bragg an attempt to do on a much larger scale what they did during the 2022 midterm, where you inflate the candidate you think is the most extreme, like Trump or the people that Trump endorsed, and that way you run against them? That's playing with fire if they win, if they're so awful. But that may be what they're trying to scale. So meanwhile, question is, what would Ron DeSantis have done with somebody like Fauci? Because Donald Trump was firing people left and right, but he didn't fire Fauci. Don't forget, it was Donald Trump who said 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? He was there for that press conference. He criticized people like this, reopening the beaches and stuff. I know his surrogates are out there saying other things, but that's not actually the truth. We have the videotape. So Would DeSantis have fun?
People have been quite kind of scathing. They've said you're house-trained Donald, your Diet Coke to his full Coke, right? You've heard all this. What are the differences? Well, I know what I know him very well. I'm having now spent time with you. I could imagine you think of.
Well, I mean, I think there's a few things. I mean, obviously, you know, the approach to COVID was different. I mean, you know, I would have fired somebody like Fauci. I think he got way too big for his britches, and I think he did a lot of damage. I also think just in terms of my approach to leadership, you know, I get personnel in the government who have the agenda of people and share our, if you bring your own agenda in, you're gone. We're just not gonna have that. So the way we run the government, I think, is no daily drama, focus on the big picture, and put points on the board. And
speaking of drama, there was this fun where Chris Morgan was asking DeSantis how Trump's, and was Trump just aren't against DeSantis, ran it, landed against everybody else the last time around. Give a listen.
Job. Which is your favorite? Is it Ron DeSantis?
Well, I can't.
I think even he went off meatball wrong.
I don't really know what it means, but I, you know, I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want, as long as, you know, also call me, because that's what we.
He's right. So what did he say?
You did a press conference responding, reporting, and died. You gave an instant response, very sort of supportive in a way, but yeah, you know, I think what's happening is outrageous. Political posture in New York should be focused on. But you also repeated twice you didn't have any knowledge of hush money being paid to porn stars. Was I right to feel that there was a slightly censorious tone to that, that that kind of thing is just not anything you would ever get involved with?
Well, I think there's a lot of speculation about what the underlying conduct is. That is purported to be it. And, you know, the reality is that's just outside my wheel. I mean, that's just not something that I can do. So, you know, I hope it doesn't come to where you end up seeing this going forward. I mean, if you are a very strident prosecutor, this guy's on the left, and you're not prosecuting a lot of crimes, Manhattan's gotten less safe, you're going to go after somebody on the other side for some novel offense. That just does not inspire confidence. See, that is weaponizing the justice. So I think it's fundamentally wrong to do that. And, you know, just made it be known. But, who, you know, we'll see. Maybe it won't come to that. I mean, we haven't seen.
So, you know what that tells me, that clip? One did take the bait on the other questions. Thing of it, he was filmed on Monday. That thing was filmed on Monday, which means I didn't catch that the first time I looked. If that thing was filmed on Monday, he knew very well what he. And now the Trump of DeSantis fight is about to get up, because all the Trump surrogates are going to say, you said this about Trump, you said that about Trump. And guys, it's not going to affect that angle. We can fight about this all day long. But you got another Joe Biden that are going to keep affecting you. And all this in-party bickering. This is between the first and everybody trying to paint Ron DeSantis. I know where's establishment. Guys, that argument does not hold. Now, you want to tell me who you're backing in this whole thing? As always, the text lines are open at 206-421-5757. 206. Maybe you're like me. You've had enough of the crazy train. Or maybe you want more of the crazy train. Maybe you love the crazy train. You can also call us at 206-644-6006. We go to the KVI studio line. Take a call from Dave in Tacoma. Dave, what's happening?
Hey, all right. I love your show. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I just got this truth for your consideration, okay?
Okay. I'm with you.
Daniel 2:21.
Which one?
It is he who... Daniel 2:21.
Okay.
It is he who changes the times and seasons. He places the kings in office and removes them.
Yeah, that's not a bad point there, my friend. It's not, because God's going to make this choice one way or the other. We get to help him out sometimes, though. But that's a very interesting way of looking at all this, Dave. It's a very biblical way of looking at all this. I hate the call, Dave. I appreciate the kind words. That's excellent. I needed something. That's a lot of fun. Welcome back to the Ari Hoffman Show. Just want to remind everybody, I know a lot of times you guys want to come to KVI events, you want to hang out with us. You can hang out with me for 10 days in Israel, guys. We're going with Colette Tours. We're going to travel and all the best stuff. We're going to head out to the Holy Land. We're going to eat like crazy. We're going to go to wineries. We're going to climb Masada. We're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to go to the Sea of Galilee. We're going to go to Nazareth, all the Christian, all the Jewish places. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have a great, great time. And you get to hang out with me for 10 days. It'll be fantastic. It'll be great. I'll have some fun. It'll be wonderful. So if you want to learn more about this, here's what you do. You head on over to KVI.com. All the details of the trip are right there. There's also a Zoom meeting if you want to ask questions. April 4th at 7 p.m. with me. So once again, head on over to KVI.com. Get all the details over there. All the details about the trip. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have an amazing. Now, if you want to talk to Colette Tours, you want to book now, you can call them at 268-4192. That's 844-268-4192 and say, I want to go to Israel with Ari. Get all details. KVI. Let's get back to what's happening in Seattle around. So we've been following the story of the suspect who allegedly wounded a King County Sheriff's deputy after opening fire while they were serving an eviction notice in Seattle on Monday. Remember that story we've been following the past couple days? Well, Guess what? Yesterday, what was it, around 5 o'clock or something like that, I get a press release shared by the Bellevue Police Department from King County Sheriff's Investigative. And it says that this person has multiple names and they were formerly known as. I'm like, the only person I know who's formerly known as is Prince. That's it. The artist formerly known as, and I don't think this person's Prince. They set up all these red flags. Now, this started sounding like an Antifa type thing. So I sent it over to the expert Antifa, Andy No. And guess what we found out? Not only does this person have affiliations with Antifa, not only is this person a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, but they also identify as transgender woman, which I don't even follow all this kind of stuff. Why is that relevant? We're going to get to that in a second. According to law enforcement, three deputies were serving the notice, but when they encountered the resident being evicted, there was a shootout. Three deputies opened fire. One deputy was shot in the upper torso above his bulletproof. Three deputies have been identified as Detective Benjamin Wheeler, Benjamin Miller, and David Easterly. All of these guys have more than, I think, 20 years on the force. They've all been there a very long time. So they all know when to pull your gun, when to open fire. Easterly, the deputy that was shot, remains in critical condition but stable at Harborview Medical Center. On Tuesday, the Independent Force Investigation King County identified the resident being evicted who was involved in the shooting. 29-year-old Eucatus Eucatus. What kind of name is that? That's definitely a made-up name. That is not a religious thing. That is something you came up with on your own. I don't even know where that comes from. Is there some sci-fi thing we're missing? Is there some Hail Antifa thing we don't know about? Is this something I'm like completely lost on? Eucatus. Hang on. Let's go to the Google machine. Problem is, because now this person's name is going to pull up all the, like the one I wrote for the post-millennial. Oh, Eucatus. No, that's eucalyptus, Google. You got that wrong. It's not
eucalyptus. Delicious.
Is it eucalyptus without
the koala bears like that one quite a bit. Makes them calm and less murderous.
Oh, that's why his hair is green.
Yeah.
Oh, I understand. I don't. Eucatus, Eucatus. That is not your Christian name, sir.
No.
That is not your given name.
It's a real Sirhan Sirhan situation there.
Yeah, but Sirhan Sirhan's a real person, dude.
Yes, well, that's true. That's
okay. True. So what was Eucatus, Eucatus's real name? Nathan Stolzig. I mean, that's an unfortunate last name, but okay, it's not terrible. I've heard way worse. Who identifies as a transgender woman. I'm looking at a biological. King County Medical Examiner confirmed that Stolzig died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Do you think maybe there's some other mental health things going on here? Like, for example, the transgender stuff. Do you think that also this person, as opposed to opening fire on deputies who are coming to evict you, how many times did they come by? How many notices of eviction did you get where you could have said to any of the billions of dollars in services that are provided in Seattle and King County and Washington State, I need help. I need housing vouchers. I need an apartment. I need a hotel. I need a shelter. How about your family? How about your friends? I'm guessing if you change your name to Eucatus Eucatus, you're not really in touch with your family anymore. What about these mutual aid morons who are usually allied with Antifa who are supplying this person food and other supplies? You know, you guys have a hand in this. You guys could have said, hey, we're going to help you pay your rent. Hey, we're going to fundraise for you. Hey, let's help connect you with services. But instead, you enabled this to happen. You enabled this. You think maybe there's some other mental issues going on here aside from the green hair? Stolzig was a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, signed a letter during the 2020 BLM Antifa riots that rocked Seattle, calling then-Mayor Jenny Durkin to resign because she didn't support the riots enough. Yes, turning over six blocks of Seattle to the armed Antifa BLM occupiers wasn't supporting you guys enough, letting you riot every single night without actually calling in the National Guard from Jay Inslee, who was stationed at then Century Link Field. They were stationed there, 150 of them, ready to go. Never did anything with them. Stolzig appeared to share the same ideology as Antifa in a post on his deactivated Tumblr page. So there's this shtick they do. You know the Gadsden flag? That's the don't tread on me flag.
Yeah.
Apparently their shtick is the way they make Antifa flags is they take one of those and then paint it over with black and red. I don't know why. That's their shtick. Apparently he's got a whole post about it. He also has a Quora post explaining what it means. No justice, no peace. Got this whole thing here. No justice is a direct action and radical leftist chant. Direct action is a practice and theory that social and political change can only be achieved by intentional action, which opposes the system or individuals that which are responsible. So violence then? Quote, it's generally nonviolent. That is to say, disrupting peace does not necessitate violence, but there are exceptions. Oh, great. This is the person we're talking about. Clearly something is wrong here. And the Democratic Socialists of America released a statement. They like this guy so much. They said they were deeply saddened to learn of the death of Yusi, a DSA member, following an apparent exchange of gunfire during an attempt by King County Sheriff deputies to evict from her Ballard apartment. King County Medical Examiner is ruling Yusi's death a suicide. Seattle DSA is urging media and law enforcement to stop misgendering Yusi, who identified as trans, and to stop calling her by her dead name. Uh-huh. A dead name, you say, huh? Just making sure I got that one. Mike had that one before, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. Still didn't get canceled, so I'm going to do it again. No matter how you slice it, it's still they dead name. Because they dead.
Because they very dead.
As I might say, extra dead.
Extra dead. Super dead. I was waiting for the super dead one. You open fire on police officers, I don't care how you identify. Look, you want to talk to me and say, hey, please use my name, which is Princess Consuela Chiquita Banana Hammock. I will use it. Okay, because I'm a polite person. If I'm talking to you, I'll make fun of you later, but I will use that in person. You open fire on a police officer or anybody for that matter, I don't care how you identify. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your dead name is. I don't care what your cosplay name is. I don't care what your imaginary friend's name is. I don't care. You've given up all rights to that nonsense, clearly. And the psychos over at Democratic Socialists of America should know better. But unfortunately, we know what they really want. What do they want? They want protests over this person. They want to make an issue. They want free rent for everybody. Rent control. Stop the evictions. They want to do all this. We know what's going to happen. We know exactly what Kashama and crew come out today, tomorrow, something talking about this. Or is Kashama smart enough to realize, stay away from this craziness. This person opened fire on police officers, and the tide has changed against you guys. Yes, people around here actually recognize we need cops. And the fact that this person tried to shoot a police officer as opposed to seeking out services, I think I know why they killed themselves, because they realized, oh my God, what did I just do? What did I just bring down upon myself? I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison. Well, we know the Fed raised interest rates. What does this exactly mean? I know there's so many people who won't admit that they don't know what's going on. Well, basically what it is trying to combat inflation. Too much money in the system right now because the government decided it was a really, real idea to start just printing money, and then flush it down the toilet into the economy and made all these things worse. And they're even Democrats. This is Democrat Congressman Rosa DeLauro talking about how bad this
in this country. It really is. People do live paycheck to paycheck, and they are struggling. What we need to try to do is to focus on how we bring prices down for people.
You know how you bring prices down? You bring inflation down. You know how you bring inflation down? Stop spending all the money. Why is it when the economy gets hard, I got to cut my budget. I got to cut my finance. You got to cut yours. Mike's got to cut his, right? Mike's not buying no Transformers right now because they're too expensive. It's probably killing you, buddy, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime we've talked about inflation, you know, we're talking about like price of gas, price of eggs. And I'm like, screw that. My Transformers are like 30% more expensive than they were 2 years ago.
This is on essential. People are making money on, and that hurts the economy. If you're making cuts at whatever you're buying, that means that place has less money to pay them. So they make cuts, and that makes cuts. So this is all thanks to Joe Biden's policies. So I wonder what Joe Biden's energy, Jennifer Granholm, she's always a beacon of great ideas about all this.
Where will our viewers see the results in their own lives, and how can they take advantage of it?
Yeah, it's a great question, because there are huge opportunities for individuals, especially as they consider perhaps retrofitting their homes to be more energy efficient. So, for example, if you wanted to install a heat pump in your home, replace your HVAC system, perhaps it's gone out, you can get significant tax credits to be able to do that.
Did she really just say that? As a former contractor, let's run through some money here. A heat pump is probably going to cost you about $2,000 to $3,000 for a good one for your house. Never mind the retrofitting, electrical, permitting, and everything else you're going to have to do to get that sucker up and running. So here's how you save money in Joe Biden's economy. You drop a few grand on a heat pump. Awesome. You redo your whole HVAC system. Yeah, we're going to get rid of them radiators, get ourselves a heat pump. So then we got to do duct work also on top of everything else. What a brilliant strategy. Oh, by the way, heat pumps are electric, and you don't like the things that power the electric, like coal and nuclear. So how do you plan on dealing with that? Oh, and by the way, their electrical bills are going to. So bravo, just well done. Oh, by the way, did you know there's still a nationwide shortage of baby formula? This is like a year after Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg promised they were going to fix this problem. I seem to remember this being a pretty big deal.
We're hearing that shortages are continuing. We're here at this pharmacy in Fords, New Jersey. Take a look at this supply of baby formula. The pharmacist here says all of this will last probably just today. He thinks demand is growing and supply is dwindling. He even has a wait list for some types of specialty formula. Watch.
It's getting harder and harder. Most formula that we're trying to find, the more hard to get ones are hard to get, such as Enfamil AR, Enfamil Gentilease NeuroPro. So you have some certain mothers are looking for them because to struggle to get out there and try to find these formulas. They're going from one store to the next store to the next store.
Yeah, it's only getting worse. Thanks to Fox Business for keeping us up with that one, because I didn't realize that was still going on. I don't have kids that age anymore, but I can only imagine what it's like for parents. I still see in the grocery store, come to think of it, a lot of those cabinets that are supposed to have the baby formula, there's a lot less than there used to be. There's a lot less, and it's under lock and key, too, because people are stealing it all the time, because when there's less of something, it's worth more. Hey, Karine Jean-Pierre, how's the economy going?
When we look at how strong the economy is, it's because of the president's work.
I'm sorry, what? How strong the economy is because of the president's work? What are you guys doing to address all these economic problems? What's your big solution? What's the thing you're focusing on most today at the White House that you announced to the press corps?
I want to say one thing at the top. We have grave concerns with the passage of the Anti-Homosexuality Act, AHA, by the Parliament of Uganda yesterday, and increasing violence targeting LGBTQI plus persons. If the AHA is signed into law and enacted, it would impinge upon universal human rights, jeopardize progress in the fight against HIV/AIDS, deter tourism, and invest in Uganda, and damage Uganda's international reputation. The bill is one of the most extreme anti-LGBTQI plus laws in the world. Human rights are universal. No one should be attacked, imprisoned, or killed simply because of who they are or whom they love.
I'll agree with that last part, but at the same time, if you guys believe so strongly in this, why are you still funding the terrorists out in Iraq? They execute people being members of the LGBTQIA community. Don't virtue signal with me with Uganda. It's going to hurt tourism to Uganda. Do a lot of people go to Uganda? Is that a hotbed of tourist thing? I don't hear that many people saying they want to go to Uganda. I don't hear that. Here they say they want to go to Israel with Ari Hoffman, which you can find all details for that at KBI.com. I don't hear a lot of people talking about going to Uganda. You want to talk about actually stopping these kind of crimes against humanity? You guys give a ton of money to the Palestinian Authority, and in Gaza, they don't allow this stuff either. They don't allow it either. You're funding that. How many other terrorist regimes around the world are you funding that don't allow LGBTQIA rights? Don't just virtue signal. Do something about it if you believe in that. Meanwhile, you guys are funding all these countries all over the place, and Americans are suffering here at home because you're wasting money on terrorist organizations. They couldn't stop talking about this stuff today. KJP just kept bringing it up.
Do you have any reaction in Florida, Governor DeSantis expanding the rules that forbid classroom instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity?
Yeah, it's wrong. It's completely, utterly wrong, and we've been very crystal clear about that when it comes to the Don't Say Gay bill and other actions that this governor has taken in the state of Florida. But make no mistake, this is a part of a disturbing and dangerous trend that we're seeing across the country of legislations that are anti-LGBTQI+, anti-trans, the community in a way that we have not seen it in some time. And it's not just the LGBTQI+ community. We're talking about students. We're talking about educators. We're talking about just individuals. And so the president has been very clear. This administration has been very clear. We will continue to fight for the dignity of Americans.
So they're still lying about the Don't Say Gay thing because it's not actually in there. They're still lying about that. And it says we don't want that. You guys seem to push on everybody. Who knows what that Antifa activist we spoke about earlier, the transgender one, had learned in school from these kind of programs. Looked like a pretty young kid. Looked like a pretty young kid who didn't even have a job. Looked like somebody who just graduated high school. I guess there's some college-age person or something like that. Didn't look very old. What, in their 20s? I think that's how old it said they were. Or they opened fire on police officers. So instead of getting this person an education where they could have a sustaining job, you taught them to be an activist. You taught them they were transgendered. Bravo. Just absolutely bravo. Gee, I can't imagine why parents don't want this garbage in the classroom. And while you're focusing on all this hypersexualized education, you're not teaching. And you end up with kids like this. Aren't you guys the ones who say Education's the silver bullet. It's the one that stops the school-to-prison pipeline. That kids need a better education. And yet, this is what you're talking about. This is what you're spending your time doing. How about saying we need more math, we need more science, we need more technology, we need that kind of stuff. But no, instead you're pushing your, all it is about pushing, solving the, of the, and no matter where you come down on this, it shouldn't be the teacher's job to teach this kind of stuff to their kids. Teacher's job is to teach the kids how to succeed in life. This isn't one of the things that helps them. Generations of kids got by perfectly fine without this garbage in the schools. Focus on the basics. You may have some better citizens and not the craziness we're seeing out there. It is time to feel good as we wrap up another amazing episode of the Ari Hoffman Show right here on Talk Radio 570 KVM. Before we get to our good news giveaway, some good news headlines, including our friends over at Newsmax, have signed a deal with DirecTV. That's right, DirecTV caved. And now Newsmax is back on their platform. So all of you called ATV job, well done. You got Newsmax. They announced today that they reached a business agreement for a multi-year distribution deal that will return the Newsmax channel to DirecTV Stream and AT&T's UVerse on March 23rd, 2023. That means you can watch Newsmax back on AT platforms starting tomorrow. Fantastical. Good news. Good job to all of you out there who called. And by the way, all those numbers you used to call and say thank you. Say thank you for doing that. Say thank you for listening, because they could have told you, could have done that. Call them and say thank yous, because one thing I've learned in life is yous are free. You can say them anytime for anything. So give them some affirmation. Why don't you? They are a woke. So give them a call. Give them the affirmation they need, and also it'll benefit you, because hopefully you won't have to do this again. Thank you. A little delayed on one. There we go.
It's on the other side of the console. Sorry.
That's a big board you got there. You got like Worf's contact there.
Yes.
Like the thing on the bridge of the Enterprise D. I always wondered how he got to all the buttons. I mean, it spreads the whole length of the bridge,
right?
That sucker.
I would say perhaps because it's like on a curved arc or something like that. I don't know.
Or maybe just the guns are in one spot, right?
I bet you he like personalized his control. Guns, guns, guns.
I always wonder
torpedoes,
that.
Phasers, guns.
I always wonder why they needed so much, right? Can't they personalize their L cars so they're called Elric? I know. I
nerd.
Understand. Yes, a bit. Speaking of nerds, by the way, why is everybody getting so excited about something with Blockbuster Video? Can you explain this to me?
No.
Right, I can't either. Fox 13 is just a handful of words from a business that evokes nostalgia for many, is sending them into a frenzy. Nostalgia? I don't know if that's the right word. Did you really enjoy standing in line at Blockbuster on a Saturday night? I mean, you're burning all that time standing there in line. And while you're there in line,
yes.
You know what else is happening? Sorry, we don't have the title you wanted. We're out of that title. You got to go back and find something else.
Right.
And before that was the fighting with your group of friends about what movie you're actually going to get. I don't know if I really miss that. I may miss the time with friends.
Sure.
I don't miss.
You know, we were talking about this before the show, and I have some nostalgia for like video store culture, mm-hmm. kind of like what you were talking about, you know, kind of like hanging out with friends or even like chatting with somebody at the counter or something like that, you know, discovering movies you might not have otherwise that's actually curated by a person and not an algorithm. So I'm nostalgic for all of that, but I am not nostalgic for Blockbuster.
No, I mean, the only good thing about it was sometimes you'd get a free poster, but that was a mom and pop Blockbuster.
That's what I mean. It's like, so I'm talking about Blockbuster specifically. Right. I got no nostalgia for.
Not really. I really don't. But their website went at it.
Yeah, it's so weird.
What are they going to do? Challenge Netflix or something? Do they have some patents, deals that are in place?
Well, Blockbuster is actually owned by like DirecTV or Dish Network. No, it's Dish Network. And they license it out to Netflix so they could do those documentaries nobody watches or that lame sitcom that nobody watched. I think it's a case of, we'll have to litigate this a different day, but like, I think it's manufactured nostalgia. I think it's like Gen Zers looking for nostalgia because they don't have any nostalgia of their own. That's why they're watching Friends in the Office.
Right. I don't have enough love for Blockbuster. You can give me a good TV show in a Blockbuster setting, but from what I understand, it was all Blockbuster jokes and only going to go far. How many jokes about rewinding your VHSs?
Well, and it being like the most corporate, sanitary and sanitized corporate video store. No, thank you. Yuck.
Right. I don't miss Nobody Beats the Wiz. I don't miss that place. I mean, the big electronics chain that we had on the East Coast. I mean, would I miss Best Buy if it closed?
AKA the Amazon showroom.
Exactly. That's all it is these days, right? Exactly what it is. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, it's even more corporate than Blockbuster. I used to go there on Tuesday. Anyway, before I forget, your chance to win Antabulous prizes. Today, we're giving away a $50 Daniel's Broiler gift card. Daniel's Broiler has been a Seattle favorite, including chicken and fresh seafood, as well as a selection of high-end spirits, wine, and cocktails. Daniel's Broiler is open now in Bellevue. Downtown Seattle, Leschi, and Southlake Union with dine and takeout and delivery. Check out daniel'sbroiler.com to place your takeout delivery order. And we're also giving away a copy of 7 Steps to a Successful Retirement from Madrona Financial. Sponsored by Madrona Financial. Learn how to design your... For 30-plus years, from Brian Evans of Madrona Financial, is a local company working to help you with deep financial... So that future financial storms don't... Madrona Financial. Discover how you can create a rude wealth plan. All you have to do in order to win these fantabulous prizes is to call our number 10 at 206-644-6006. That's 206-644-6006. Caller number 10 wins a $50 Daniel's Broiler gift card and a copy of Successful Retirement from Madrona Financial. This is sponsored by Daniel's Broiler and Madrona Financial Service. And CPS. Phone lines are open now. Give us a call at 206-644-6006. We'll be back tomorrow with more insane stories, more exciting guests, and, of course, more giveaways. You've been listening to The Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.